views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants and no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
All right, here we go. The power hour has arrived. Hey, good afternoon, one and all. 106, it's Juan. This is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Heard now, we've expanded our program here on AM 1380, 95.1 FM, and it's WNRI. Now 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays right here with the Chosen Juan. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Stop in and see the great staff at the Lodge, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. I'll tell you, Dave, Donna, what a great job they do there. Full bar, large dining area, lunch or dinner or drinks. Enjoy a unique rustic setting. The food is delicious. The service is tremendous. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Now, in just a moment, we're going to speak. Also, good afternoon once again to everyone watching on Facebook Live. Again, if you're listening right now, you can go on Facebook Live. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Click the like button. It's very interactive. Brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. Richard writes, Providence police were immediately forthcoming on details regarding the incident. Rhode Island State Police not so transparent on details. Joe Trillo is correct. Joe Trillo joined us earlier, and we will have that. Jeff Gamach, who's our producer, will have that up. Within an hour after the show, we'll have a podcast. Joe Trillo, first one. I'm going to ask Justin Katz about this in just a moment. Joe Trillo, the first one, saying that Governor Mundo should remove Colonel Anna Sumko. Now, from what I understand, it was the governor's people that have been interfering with the state police investigation. Colonel Anna Sumko, this has not been very good for her. It is interesting, though, because Colonel Perry, keep in mind, Colonel Stephen Perry was the head of the Rhode Island State Police. He was appointed by Governor Allman, and he was, in fact, in charge during the smoke shop raid. He was then removed. The governors have the right to pick who they want to be the head of the Rhode Island State Police. Colonel Stephen Perry was removed. At the time, Governor Cucciari brought in Colonel Brendan Daugherty. Daugherty remained while Cucciari was there, and then when Chafee came in, Governor Gump said, I think I want to have my own person. Well, actually, no. Brendan Daugherty said, I'm not going to go along, where Chafee said, from now on, we're not going to go after illegal aliens.
I don't make anybody happy.
So Brendan Daugherty then left, and then Chafee appointed Colonel Steve O'Donnell. And O'Donnell, by all accounts, was doing a solid job. And then Governor Raimondo said, we want to make a political statement about diversity. So we either want a person of color, minority, or female. And that's how we end up with Colonel Anna Sumko. We're going to talk to Justin Katz in just a moment. But let's sneak in a quick phone call here on the John DePietro Show. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Very well. Go right ahead.
I just want to make a few comments I saw on Facebook about the situation in Providence. Also put on your Facebook page that you, Clemens, was a former partner of mine. We started on the Rhode Island Park Police together.
Is that right?
He was a gentleman back then. He's a gentleman today. And what happens when you talk about these appointments, the local police departments, and I'm speaking from experience, they draw from the community. They draw from surrounding communities. And they're kids that grew up in the city, they played sports in the city, they have family in the city. And then you go to the Rhode Island State Police, they recruit from around the country. You bring people in that don't, there's no history of the state, there's no, and it's a, it, when decisions become political versus what is in front of you, then you have a major problem.
That's a very good point. Mostly Rhode Island, though. Most of the troopers are Rhode Islanders on the Rhode Island State Police. But make no mistake, Hugh Clemens, I'm trying to go back. I thought Kennedy did a good job, but Hugh Clemens is, he's not a good police chief. He is a great police chief. What you saw on display at that press conference on Friday, you know, it actually, for the first time, it gave me pride in being a Rhode Islander. That was a first-class law enforcement organization that stood forward and laid everything out. That is a tremendous leadership team and a credit to the leadership team that Chief Clements has put together.
There's no doubt. And Steve Parry, first of all, I think Huey Clements is the second best colonel the Providence police have ever had.
Who would you say the best was?
My dad.
Oh. Do we? I don't know. Well, of course, then you would say your dad,
Anthony Mancuso.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, oh my God.
All right. So that being said, Stephen Parry had a meteoric rise to the Rhode Island State Police. Again, not politically, through his work ethic, his transparency, his demeanor handling the public, and those guys were phenomenal. The Providence police officers. The professionalism that's coming out of that department right now, seriously, is second to none in the history of the department.
Absolutely. And Tony Mancuso was an all-timer. Folks, he was brought in. He had that famous scene at Rocky Point. He and CNC, the last ones to leave. He would not go along with what CNC wanted. He was a cop through and through. He was a tremendous chief. And that was coming on the heels where the CNC people pressured Richie to lie to a grand jury. And then the chief of police, Richie, went into his office and so sadly laid down with a raincoat and killed himself and shot himself in the head.
Decisions become politically motivated and not based upon the facts and the feelings, and that just changes law enforcement. We have a great law enforcement community right now in the state of Rhode Island. In today's day and age, with social media and how information gets out there, you have to be transparent from the start. You can't use that, well, we're going to investigate first and see what happens. People see it as it happens. The guy that was working the camera at the Rhode Island DOT that day, unbelievable job.
That's right.
And I know there's a trooper stationed in there 24/7 also, but what a job. So when police say they were ramming the car, you see the lady in there. And it all comes up as an investigation comes out, now the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. And again, John, I didn't call to say, geez, what a great job my father did. I'm just saying, Huey Clements, Tommy Verde, Mitch Pineda, all those guys, Stephen Parry, and the mayor. What people realize with the mayoral laws, it's not what he did, it's what he didn't do. He didn't get involved with the investigation from the start, and he let policemen be policemen.
That is exactly right. I'm going to just hold it there. Please call me again. You know, that is an excellent point. Alorza has been invisible here where, good afternoon, Francis. Thank you, Darren. Whereas Governor Raimondo highly involved in telling Assumpco. Remember, folks, Colonel Assumpco and Governor Raimondo's people, they did not want the Providence police to do that press briefing Friday night. What if they had followed their advice on that? All right, joining us right now, he is the editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Justin, thank you for your patience and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How's it going?
Very well. Justin, I want to start off just the fact it's hard to get away from the shooting, the politics of the shooting. Again, this just happened last hour, but Joe Trillo, who's yet to announce for governor, that he is saying that Governor Raimondo should replace Colonel of the State Police Ann Assumpco. I'd love to get your thoughts on that and the fact it's hard to get away from this, Justin. Listen, Ann Assumpco was a political appointment. She has gone along. You and I have talked about that no-bid contract that you know they were part of with diversity training. And Governor Raimondo right now, this is not a bright moment for the Rhode Island State Police.
Oh, no, not at all. And it's been a year or two of not bright moments for the state police, it seems, not just with ever since Governor Raimondo came in. But, yeah, Colonel Assumpco, you know, skipped over several people to become the colonel. Other troopers have left. Just 2 weeks ago, there was an event in Newport where they were parading the fact that she's a woman colonel. So clearly there's this politicization, as your last caller said, of the police department. That's what I kind of hesitate to say she ought to be removed, because I'm wondering how much of the handling of this came from the governor's office and her army of media people and messaging people and folks advising her how things might look politically. So that's an area of inquiry I'd want to investigate a while as the public before you know, calling for the colonel to be knocked out. Because if you knock her out and the governor is the one behind all these problems, then you're really not curing anything.
No, you're not. But it was very interesting yesterday. I never remember this happening before, but Asumco has not been seen since Saturday. She's already been contradicted by her number two, Philbin, that said, listen, the cruiser actually can run. The lights can run without the engine going. And yesterday, Laura Meade Kirk, who's the spokesperson, PR person for the Rhode Island State Police, puts out a statement to the media, no interviews, that Colonel Asumco is actually a hero who is rendering aid on the scene. I never can recall that happening. And then, and I have heard, I mean, a lot of this seemingly is coming from the Raimondo people. And you know, Justin, there is a pattern where Governor Raimondo, they try to micromanage the information that gets out to the public in all different departments.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, and they end up shooting themselves in their foot. I mean, a good example of this is maybe a little superficial, but you caught something good when Colonel Asumco was out there in, you know, like a comfy sweater instead of her uniform that day. Now, if they had just said she was in the neighborhood and ran there, that would be a little bit more understandable. But instead, you get this slow processing of what information do we want to leave out when, and especially in contrast to the Providence police, who have been very open about everything. I mean, you're getting video of the entire chase, basically before you know what's even going on within the state police barracks. And so that contrast really, and the spin is another thing. Reading the news reports, and the statements of the state police and the governor's office, you would think that, you know, this thing with the stolen car, you know, we should have had barriers, but we didn't. We've done this forever. This could have happened at any point. But you know what? It didn't. It happened now. And there's some reason, something going on that just feels off in the state police, it seems.
I agree with you. And this is one of the problems when you have, let's face it, this was a political appointment. And Governor Raimondo is, you know, governor for the day. It's only young girls that apply. She wanted to make Asumco the first female colonel. But, you know, when you see Rhode Island State Police interviewed on television and you've seen, you know, going back, I remember Ed Culhane, or you'd see Stephen Perry, or you'd see Brendan Daugherty, or you'd even see Colonel O'Donnell. When you would see them on television, I would say, why are they sitting there with the Stetson, the hat on, the full uniform? You know, it is actually part of the protocol that when they are addressing the media, they are to be in the full uniform. And to go farther than that, they've even disciplined people in the past that have appeared on camera who have not been in full uniform. Justin, what jumps out to me is, as much as they're trying to help Asumco in this statement they put out yesterday saying, oh, she was going to a meeting in Providence that happened to be nearby and ran by, What is more horrifying to me is, I mean, I've been covering now Rhode Island news very up close for the past 20 years. This is the first time that I recall an inmate getting a hold of a state police cruiser. Why was she not at headquarters immediately? It's seemingly almost like going about her day as though it was a normal day. She was going to a meeting in Providence and she wasn't even in uniform. What on earth, Justin, was so important that you don't cancel out and say, hey, I need to get to Scituate, or I need to get to Lincoln, or I need to get to, you know, wherever, to be in communication and to make sure everything is going smoothly. You know, you go back to, and this is going to seem a little dramatic, but President Bush on 9/11 still saying in the classroom as they're reading the how to feed a goat or whatever the hell the story was, then he left. I mean, the cruiser was stolen at 9 a.m. The encounter at 10:30 is when they saw him on the highway. You know, where was she for those 90 minutes that then when she was on scene, she was not even in uniform? Like, I just question, like, what the hell was she doing that was so important?
Well, that's the problem with this slow control of information is there could be a completely legitimate explanation. She might have been called in, had an early day scheduled or a late day scheduled and came in, and the meeting had to do with the stolen cruiser. We don't know, but we don't know because they put out the information a little bit. Okay, we need to make her look good, so she was on the scene rendering aid. Well, let's say she was nearby, otherwise people will wonder why she wasn't wearing the uniform. Okay, she was going to a meeting, so that it leaves all this room for speculation. And if they would just come out and explain everything that happened, the fact that they don't do that, that's what makes people start to wonder what is really behind this. Why is this the first stolen police cruiser in anybody's memory? there's something, they make it feel like there's something they're not telling us. And it's either that they're just trying to be over careful in their messaging, or there is actually something that they don't want people to know because it would look even worse.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We don't know where she was. They haven't revealed that. But you know what? I commend the Providence police. I mean, Perry and Hugh Clemens, they did not wait for the state police. They stepped right up. We're going to put the information out there. We're going to show the video, the whole thing. I mean, that was pretty impressive. The state police, this has not been a good couple of days, and it does come into it. What do you make of the fact of Trillo now that making this almost political? I mean, Raimondo, she really couldn't take on another element of incompetence, but when someone's stepping forward saying that the head of the state police should be removed, I don't remember anything like that since there were calls on Commissioner Perry after the smoke shop raid that anyone was saying that the head of the state police should step down.
Well, yeah, to some extent, they're creating that dynamic with their trying to be overly careful with their message. I mean, it's in our political system. It operates by somebody having the political incentive to push envelopes and to call for things to be done so that there's always opposition within the government, and that's a good, healthy thing. When the governor's office not only has this history of doing things poorly, has a history of over-messaging things, in this case with the state police colonel making it look very much like a political decision to appoint her, that creates the opening for the opposition to come in and start making calls that would, under other circumstances, seem overly dramatic. Because at this point, they're really not, because we're not getting the information we need. And hopefully, rather than fight back and try to, you know, poo-poo that complaint, the governor's office will start to change how they handle themselves and how they let information out there, so that these openings don't come upwards justified to start making those sorts of calls.
Yeah, I had, and just on this note, you know, I had heard through different people, Steve O'Donnell, who was the colonel, I mean, by all accounts, the state police was rolling along. There was really no reason to make that change. There was definitely some pushback from Raimondo and Brett Smiley, and they wanted more control over things, and he didn't want to be a puppet. And so then suddenly, you know, if you remember, it was last year, 16, when suddenly Colonel O'Donnell was leaving it within 2 weeks, and then, you know, the search went out for Sumco. This is one of the problems when you involve politics. And I do want to commend, as, you know, Mayor Elorza, maybe he's doing it because he's afraid that some of his constituents are not fond of the police, but he has been absent, and I do give him credit. He has let Commissioner Perry and Hugh Clemens, Elorza was not even at the press conference. He was at the opening of Comic-Con. But I do credit, like, this is the best thing that's happened in Providence, Justin, really in quite some time.
You mean the police handling of it?
The way the police handled it. I mean, they stepped up. That was a very dangerous situation. I'm not saying the shooting, but if you did a poll statewide on people's impressions of how the two agencies handled it, I would say this was one of the brightest spots for just the city of Providence. Because, what you know, the city of Providence has been in the news for what? For the parking meters and the homeless downtown and the panhandling and problems with the fire department and Elorza in the sanctuary city. What you saw Friday, that was a police force conducting a thorough press conference with details, handling the media, the whole thing. You could put that up against, like, any police force, as far as a city police force in the country, on their actions on Friday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it comes back to, we've talked in the past about Governor Raimondo not really looking like she's rolling up her sleeves and just trying to fix actual problems. And part of, I think, what you're referring to here is part of fixing actual problems is saying to agencies of yours where you've got no particular expertise, this is your thing. I'm here to back you up. You are my police colonel. You are my police chief at the city level. This is your thing. You do it. That, rather than trying to say, here's how we're going to message this. And I think that's probably a large part of the difference. Hopefully what we're seeing with Mayor Elorza is that he said, you know what, this is not my, I'm not even going to try to put political fingerprints on this, because this is a serious issue that's in your wheelhouse, and you go ahead and do it. That's probably the biggest difference in leadership between the two that we're seeing in the past week.
I agree, and I think it would be hard to imagine Dean Esselman holding a press conference like that. He was not comfortable with the media. The only real press conference I remember of Esselman was he gave that very difficult press conference after Detective Jim Allen had been shot and killed in Providence. And then obviously, you know, Prignano was just a disaster during the CNC years after the shooting of Cornell Young Jr. People did not have confidence in Prignano. There's no way a Mayor CNC type would have stayed away from that press briefing. Alorza, too, his credit, seemingly did stay away and not interfere. But one last thing about that scene on the highway, and I have a picture of this on DePetro.com. You see Chief of Police Q Clemons in full uniform. This was 12 noon. They did a press briefing last Thursday right on the highway ramp. You see Commissioner Perry in his commissioner uniform with the Providence pin and the whole deal. And there's Anna Sumpko. And again, all due respect to the colonel, but Justin, she looked like she was out running errands. She's in a sweater of some kind. For crying out loud, this thing started at 9 o'clock. I spoke with someone that said that in the past, the colonels, they kept a uniform in their car. They kept a uniform at headquarters. They, you know, within 5 minutes, boom, if something happened, they could be in full uniform. I still don't get how if she's on scene at 10:30, what was going on between 9 and 10:30 that you didn't have 5 minutes to slip on your state police uniform? It just, to me, you know, between that And then she gives wrong information about how the engine had to be running in order for the lights to go. And then her number two, Joe Philbin, tells the Journal, well, actually, you don't need the engine running for the lights to go. She, I don't throw this around lightly, but certainly gives off someone that either didn't comprehend the seriousness of the situation and or is not ready for prime time. And neither one is a good depiction you want for the colonel of the state police.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. And I mean, regarding the governor, the narrative just goes right to the narrative of not knowing when to take things seriously, whether it's UHIP or a stolen police car. You could very much picture the colonel saying, you know what, okay, we'll recover it, no big deal. As far as the wardrobe, yeah, I could see there being, I mean, it's difficult to talk about these days, but I could see there being differences in the ability for somebody to change their clothes on the run, male or female. But even so, if there are going to be time, if it's protocol for you as a colonel to always be visible in your uniform as a representative of the state police, then you need to figure out some way to work that in there. So even if you have to stop, I mean, had she been to the scene 5 minutes later, having to pull in somewhere and change her clothes, I don't know what her being on the scene did other than create the possibility to say she was rendering aid to one of the victims of the shooting.
Yeah, and then the state police to put out a statement telling people that she rendered aid and pointing it out. And, you know, the only evidence we have is that Laura Kirk Mead, who's the, again, another Raimondo spokesperson. We're going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment. Folks, we're going to come right back with Justin Katz again, and I want to talk to him. We'll take some of your phone calls. Again, good afternoon. It's Sean DePetro. There is Kerry. And also, Sean, you can join us on Facebook Live. But then we'll take some more of your calls at 769-0600 on the John DePetro Show. I do want to ask Justin about this situation with Mayor Fung had a very interesting poll out, and then I'm going to play some more of some of the sound that they released in Providence yesterday, as far as Providence police released some of the sound that was going over the scanner, and it's very, very interesting. Folks, I want to remind you, if you're thinking of having your kitchen done, the Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England, it's Joe, it's Eddie, they're the best, the Kitchen and Countertop Center. They have just opened. It is state-of-the-art, brand-new, 8,000-square-foot showroom for the Kitchen and Countertop Center. 8,000 square feet. They used to be in Providence. They moved. They're now in Pawtucket, 125 Eston Avenue, Pawtucket. There's our friend Kerry. Folks, call the Kitchen and Countertop Center and schedule your free in-home consultation at 736-0001. 736-0001 for the Kitchen and Countertop Center. You know, I am such a fan. That's who redid our kitchen, the Kitchen and Countertop Center. You can find them online at kccne.com, but call them today. It's Joe, it's Eddie. Their showroom, Kitchen and Countertop Center, New England. New England's largest kitchen and bath design showroom. 8,000 square feet and over 100 different kitchen models to choose from. It's the Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England. Call them 736-0001. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to be right back. More with Justin Katz, managing editor, Ocean State Current. More ahead on the John DePietro Show. Stay with us.
The Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra brings Handel's complete epic masterpiece, Messiah, to the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center for one performance only on Sunday, November 26th at 3 p.m., featuring guest soloists soprano Kelly Hollis, mezzo-soprano Megan Roth, tenor Jesse Darden, and baritone John Allen Nelson, under the direction of music director and conductor Edward Markward. Tickets are available at Excel Salon, The Honey Shop, Winthrop Street, Pepin Lumber, Vos True Value Hardware, or online at the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center website. Handel's Messiah with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra at the St. Anne Arts and Cultural Center on Sunday, November 26th at 3 p.m. Purchase your tickets in advance and save.
Folks, I want to remind you, you can control the quality of your drinking water. Call Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company today at 294-2400. Kerry, don't you want clean drinking water? Of course you do. Bottled water, unregulated industry. Folks, call Water Filter Company today, Steve and Alice. They're right in North Kingstown. Have a water filter installed in your home. It's a game changer. 294-2400. 294-2400. You know, how about the people, if you're listening in Burrville right now, you can't even drink out of your tap water. Or in Massachusetts, where there are people that have brown water, call Steve and Alice. Free consultation, Water Filter Company, 294-2400. Have it installed. You notice a difference. You can, Tom Brady drinks 25 glasses of water a day. Do you think he's drinking contaminated water? Water Filter Company, 294-2400. 294-2400. Call Steve and Alice today at Water Filter Company. And we're back on this Wednesday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You can send me an email. It's john@depietro.com. No I's. john@depetro.com. Follow me on both Facebook and Twitter. It's John DePietro Show. Check out depietro.com. I write a nice little blurb about the Providence police, what a tremendous job they're doing, and more details, folks, about the shooting. I just got some more information we'll be posting later. All right, we continue with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. You know, Justin, the Fung campaign, they had some internal polling. They released it. I think it might have been a little bit of a mistake just because it kind of got lost with all the news of the shooting. But according to the poll the Fung campaign released, they show Mayor Fung firmly in command, I believe 45%, Patricia Morgan 24%, Joe Trillo third, although he has not announced yet, with I think it was 10%. Very interesting also has Mayor Fung in a matchup against Governor Raimondo beating her, but still a large percentage. I think it was 13% showing Fung. Showing people undecided. What I think is interesting about this is, number one, the Fung people, since they have announced Fung campaign, they have been out of the box. They immediately went on television. They were immediately on social media. And now they're the first ones to release a poll. Love to get your thoughts on the Fung poll and also just the strategy behind that.
Well, the timing might not have been terrible. I think one of the keys to beating Raimondo next year is going to be the contrast of competence versus her. What have you been calling it? The reign of error. I think that's the
reign of error. That's mine, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. Putting it out while the state police and the governor's office are kind of bobbling a ball isn't necessarily a bad idea. But regarding the results, I'd be kind of surprised if it weren't something like this. I mean, he could have won it last time. He came close. This isn't he's kind of the presumptive nominee. So if he weren't leading by a significant margin, that'd be the surprising result. Of course, you have to keep in mind that between Morgan with 24%, Trillo with 10%, and the don't knows with 20%, there's still enough votes to beat him, even without taking any of his initial voters. So there's still plenty of play in the game with that. What struck me in the general election, his poll also had the, 49% disapproval for the governor, compared with 51% disapproval in Rhode Island of Donald Trump. So the governor is almost as unpopular as Donald Trump, according to this poll. And that makes you think there's a lot of, those are some of the same people not liking Trump and not liking Raimondo. There's a lot of give as we come into this election season for Mayor Fung or whoever the nominee may be to grab voters who would otherwise be expected to vote for the Democrat. And they did say that in the poll, there was two to one independents went for Fung over Raimondo versus, and also it was the campaign manager said a substantial number of self-identified Democrats would actually go for Fung. And I think we're probably seeing there are two things. One is the competence issue, where Raimondo is just not the competent manager that a lot of people kind of expected her to be, given her brand after being treasurer. And also, I think we're probably seeing some reflections of the internal Democrat conflicts, say, between the progressives and the more standard, even conservative Democrats like Joe DiLorenzo. So those two things are going to create a very difficult environment for the governor next year, I think, in the election. And the question for primary voters is going to be which of the three or four or however many Republicans who put their name forward will be able to capitalize on that with the greatest facility, even to the point of if some independent jumps in again and tries to blow up another election, then if the Republican Party can put forward someone with a big enough margin on those two issues, on competence and on being able to grab some of the more conservative Democrats and independents, I think that's going to be the path for the Republican Party.
I agree with you. And Justin, also, I mean, next week is Thanksgiving. They're obviously, General Assembly, they're not coming back. This whole PawSox thing, I mean, that thing is just fading away, or it's going to be resumed into January. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Managing Editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, just two other things quickly I want to touch on with you. One is, I just think the shooting has taken so much oxygen out of other stories, but boy, Ken Block had a big win with the Board of Elections. I was very glad. He's been talking about it's too easy for these people they don't have to provide an ID. And that Steve Erickson with the Board of Elections, just this guy is on a mission and agenda, the likes of which I've never seen, where he just continues to try to fight Ken Block every step of the way. But at least the good news, the Board of Elections did agree with Ken Block, saying that if you want to do an emergency ballot or mail ballot, you should still have to provide an ID or a social security number. So I was very glad for citizen Ken Block.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and we're almost seeing it's almost the same story in some ways. I mean, there should have been no, especially with the part of Ken Block's complaint that had to do with the state falling out of compliance with federal law. There should have been no, and we've talked about this before, there's no controversy. A citizen comes forward, says, hey, it looks like you've fallen out of compliance here, and say, okay, we'll take a look at that. Thank you for that, bringing that to our attention. I mean, it should have been easy. And then you come out and you say, yeah, we're going to fix this, and there's no controversy. Instead, you had, Steve Erickson, who's been on Twitter and elsewhere, just crazy, almost like a troll to some people's point that Ken Block is now serially having to block him on Twitter because he keeps using a new name so that he can keep harassing him on Twitter. But so him, but also the Secretary of State, all this, she was fundraising off of Ken Block.
That's right.
I mean,
good
if they
point.
Had just said, if they had just said, hey, this is some interesting information, we'll take a look at it, that would have been all that's necessary. Instead, they made it political, and now they're having to eat some crow, which, I had written on the Ocean State Current, analyzing how the forms changed for registering to vote and all that kind of stuff. And it was clear what had happened, that yes, the rules had changed, purposefully or not. I would say probably purposefully, but, who knows at this point. The rules had changed in a way that conflicted with federal law. It was just that clear. And instead, they've got themselves in this mess where they tried to message it, make it political, and they should have just rolled with it. So, sometimes doing your job instead of making it political is actually a more politically savvy thing to do. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Folks, we're going to leave it at that. Justin, great job. He is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great Thank you, and we'll talk to you again, folks. Thank you, Justin. We normally do Political Monday, but because of the elements of the shooting, that's why then we had Justin today. Well, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hello, David Cura. Hey, I want to remind you, if you ever find yourself in an accident, and we'll take, phone lines are open, 769-0600, 769-0600. If you ever find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. It's Kenny, it's Patricia, it's West Fountain Auto Body. Did someone hit your vehicle? You know, it's amazing the amount of people that either A, are not paying attention, B, texting and driving, or C, a drunk driver. Listen, if your vehicle is damaged, call West Fountain Auto Body, but call them first. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. They're the best. West Fountain Auto Body. From a small dent to a nearly total vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. Call Kenny and Patricia at 272-3340. They're located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340, 272-3340. Well, I mentioned yesterday, very dramatic, is Providence Police released some of the scanner of everything that went down last Thursday.
State headquarters to all patrols across the state. Be on the lookout for cruiser, State Police Cruiser 187. It was taken by a suspect on 146. North Providence received.
Providence has it.
Warwick has it.
State Police headquarters to North Providence. Providence, be advised, he possibly took Branch Avenue or Admiral. Again, Mark State Police Cruiser 187, taken by the suspect.
Johnson has it.
State Police headquarters to State Patrol, stand by for a bolo. We have a caller behind the vehicle. Again, Mark State Police Cruiser 187, just took 95 South and 146 South. Again, Mark State Police Cruiser 187, taken by a subject.
14,
please have it. Warwick has it. State headquarters to Statewide Patrols. Last sight of that was taking 6 West from 95. Again, Mark State Police Cruiser 187. 6 West from 95 South.
You know, it's
a Chevy Caprice.
You know what's amazing about that whole thing is, where was Asumpko? When did she know? I would love to know where the colonel of the Rhode Island State Police was from 9 o'clock until 10:30, that it wasn't important enough for her to be at headquarters or be in uniform as this was going down. Absolutely shameful. And, folks, we're going to have it. Jeff Gamach, our producer, we'll have it up later on WNRI.com. But Joe Trillo has called for Governor Raimondo to remove Colonel Anna Asumpko from the Rhode Island State Police. Remember our friends at K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R. They'll also buy junk cars, auto wrecks. Call them today at 353-9200. I'll tell you, family-run business, Karen and her family, what a tremendous job they do at K&R Auto Salvage. Call them 353-9200. Now, they're located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Do you have a junk car? They'll pay you the highest price for your junk car. I repeat, K&R Auto Salvage will pay you the highest price for your junk car. Call K&R Auto Salvage today, 353-9200. They have access to nationwide inventory, and they offer 80% off retail prices. It's K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, 353-9200.
Headquarters to Cranston and Johnson.
Johnson.
Cranston and Johnson. Cranston, if you don't already, if you can set up cars on Route 10 South, please. And Johnson, if you don't already, if you can set up cars on Route 6 West. Again, heading in that direction. State to Cranston, inner city. Okay, state to Cranston on inner city. Sir, if you don't already, State Police Cruiser, Chevy Caprice, 187, taken 10 South, taken by a subject. If you can set up cars in the area, If you could get cruisers on Elmwood Avenue too, please.
Constance of Fate.
Fate.
The name for the subject.
Stand by. Statewide patrols. The suspect could be Donald Morgan, identified as a white male, currently wearing a blue shirt, blue pants. Again, state police cruiser, Chevy Caprice, 187, last seen 10 south. Special attention to Cranston.
Cranston has that. What kind of vehicle is it?
It's going to be a marked state police cruiser, Chevy Caprice, 187. State to Providence and Cranston.
Cranston's on.
State to Cranston, Providence. Just be advised, last known location is going to be Cranston Street, unsure which city. Again, Donald Morgan wearing a blue shirt, blue pants. He's in marked state police cruiser, Chevy Caprice, 187. Was stolen off of 146.
Cranston has
that.
You
got a
date of birth on Morgan?
Stand by, Cranston. PD, Providence, and state police. State to Cranston. Cranston, Huntington, last known location. 217-82 is the date of birth.
2782.
10-4. PD, Providence, for state police.
State on.
Sir, was any weapons in that vehicle by any chance? 10-4, statewide patrols. Use caution. There is a rifle in the rear. Unknown if he's got to it, but use caution. Okay, 10-4, thank you.
Now, let me just jump in, folks. Good afternoon. What's interesting about that is they say there's a rifle in the rear. So then police, that was the state police dispatcher. The Providence police then think they mean in the rear of the vehicle. He actually should have said there's a rifle in the trunk, but they said the rear. I don't know if then that's police jargon. Rear means trunk. But when they find the vehicle, they look in the back seat. There's no weapon. And that sets it off. So that's significant. He said there's a weapon in the rear when it was actually a rifle in the trunk.
White patrols. No further updates. Last update was Huntington at Cranston Street. Again, it's going to be Donald Morgan. He's going to be in hospital scrubs. Blue top, blue bottom. Approximately 5'10", 175, white male.
Can I help you?
Took Mark State Police Cruiser 187. It's a Chevy Caprice. State to Providence.
Providence is on.
Just be advised, on that subject, the last known address we have from is going to be in your city, 60 Academy Ave.
And Providence to State Police over the intercity.
Stay calm.
Sir, is there any GPS in the vehicle? Are we getting any real-time locations?
Negative, ma'am. Last known location was Huntington at Cranston Street.
I receive that.
State to Cranston and Providence.
Providence is on.
Cranston's on. Last known location for that cruiser is going to be towards Union on Webster.
Cranston's on. Ryan, PD Providence, State.
State.
I'm sorry, I went back to the Channel 1. What was the last location you had? Was it Webster towards Union?
10-4. Correct.
I got that. Thank you.
Cranston, State to Cranston and Providence.
PD Providence, you to state police, we have the vehicle.
Providence, go again, please.
This is big.
We have the vehicle. I'm just getting a location. If you had a 100 Avenue, give me one moment. The vehicle is unoccupied.
Unoccupied.
Cranston and Providence, the 20 of the car.
Go again, Cranston. Come in and talk.
Cranston and Providence, what's your location with the vehicle?
I'm still working on it, sir. One moment.
Morgan's on the run.
PD Providence, state.
Cranston Providence, it's going to be the backside of Vineyard off Huntington.
Yeah, we're at Mass Fog in Huntington.
Dispatch should be getting a picture.
Cranston received Vineyard and Huntington. Occupied or unoccupied?
Okay, very good.
State to Cranston and Providence.
Providence,
Cranston's on.
Cranston and Providence, if you can assist with canines in tracking the suspect.
Okay. All right, Stephanie, just be advised, state, the rifle was not in the vehicle.
Statewide patrol, it's just be advised, the rifle was not in the vehicle of Cruiser 187, believed to be taken by that suspect. Again,
that was the first report that went out. And then as a result of that, then they say, oh, wait a minute, it was in the trunk. But then you just wonder how much of that Right. It's always in. Is it always in the trunk? That's a good question, Irene. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hello, Maurice. I want to remind you about our friends at Paul Massey. Come on. Look, this is a great time of year to get a new vehicle. It was just a year ago that I got my Paul Massey Buick LaCrosse. Folks, incredible. Better than an Audi. Better than a BMW. Better than a Lexus. Paul Massey, Buick GMC South, South Kingstown. Limited time right now. Regal, LaCrosse, or the Cascada Convertible. Hurry in. Take advantage. One price sales event. Paul Massey, New England's largest Buick dealer, one price offer like this. They have their patented one price on all their vehicles. The one price, listen, if it's not the lowest, they'll make it the lowest. That's right, Paul Massey. Paul Massey on Tower Hill Road in South Kingstown. Full selection of Buicks on the lot and online. And also stop into Paul Massey Chevrolet in East Providence, Route 44, Taunton Avenue, always online at paulmassey.com. Let's hear a little bit more of this, the recordings they released yesterday.
31, he got into a white truck right in front of Frank's Auto Electric and went towards Cranston.
Was it a Ford by any chance?
I just spoke to the business owner here.
Where are you?
5 minutes ago.
5-2, there's one that just jumped on Route 10 from Cranston, all right? It was a Ford four-door.
F-150, guy honked the horn and picked him up. F-150, a white one.
Inbound or outbound?
Yeah, V in the back.
All right, 1-5. When I took down, it made a right turn on the highway going towards Providence.
Yeah, 5-2. There's one on the highway. It's got something hanging out of the back of the bed, all right? As soon as he put it over, he just jumped on the highway.
So it's a Ford, four-door.
05 model.
Yeah, it's a four-door white Ford, all right?
So it's traveling Route 10 north. 91, I just seen that. I'm in Langsville Rammer's alley here. That looked like it just went by Route 10 about 20 seconds ago. All right.
All right. It's definitely an F-150, four-door, and it's got something sticking out of the bed.
Was this for the state police thing?
Yeah, the car heading towards East Street. You're almost there. I just saw it drive by in my fixed position. All right. Route 6 East, near D Street.
Nobody has a plate, do they?
6-4. I think I have a trunk here, but stuff in the back. Plate's gonna be 133396 is off the car.
713, yeah, we're behind it. Route 10.
Direction?
It's going towards the Owls Ave exit. We're directly behind it. If that car with the lights on is move over, we're directly behind it. Direction of travel?
On the Owls Avenue Bridge.
Stop. All right, enough cars here. We got enough cars. No more cars.
7-4, no more
cars. It's not the vehicle. No more cars.
All right, it's not the vehicle. No.
1024, it's the wrong car. 1024.
7-4, sir. 1024, not the car.
All right, we can get the cars that are on the highway to clear.
All cars are on the highway. You can clear the highway.
100. Can we check with 131, see if he has any additional info?
130.
31, that's what I got from Frank's Auto Service. Happened like 5 minutes ago. So you probably went over to Bishop Cranston.
91.
90. Them guys know there's an F-150 coming up. It's going to ladder in the back, okay? Right where them guys are.
145. 1024 here, okay? Subject checked out.
Hey, when a witness said he went towards the highway, so he had to go right towards on Cranston because he can't go. It's the wrong way, way on the highway. He had to go to Cranston towards Reservoir Ave.
M2.
That silver on my car is a white pickup.
145, 1024 here. Okay, vehicle checked out.
I have 24 on that vehicle. That vehicle on Union just passing Laurel Hill.
You're getting stuck in traffic here. My 95 North going around the bend. Can we notify Mass in case he jumps on the highway?
Here it is, folks.
They got him stopped. They're on the exit. They're on the on-ramp to the mall. Right behind the mall they're at. They got him stopped. Trying to run him over with a truck. He's crushing. He's hitting cars with the truck. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
100 all cars.
Shots fired. The cars, no, they're still shooting. I don't know who.
95 and more.
Arthur! Lower your firearms! Lower your firearms!
Shut the highway down now!
Folks, as you can hear, very, very dramatic. Good afternoon, Joe. That's right. Well, folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. And joining us right now, he's so patient. You know, this is a perfect time of year to update your cell phone. And it's our friend Sal from Metro PCS. Good afternoon, Sal.
Here I am, JD. Good afternoon.
What an adventurous day it has been. Folks, right now, the holidays are coming. More and more people on Facebook or different social medias, they realize the importance of having and upgrading your cell phone, how important it can be. And right now, Kerry, right now is the time to take advantage of it, the offer that our friend at Sal at Metro PCS is offering.
That's right. Right now at Metro PCS, we have the best deal going on in wireless. You're going to get two lines of unlimited 4G LP data for just $80, period. Plus, on top of that, you're not going to get one. You're going to get two free awesome smartphones with 32 gigabytes of memory when you switch to Metro PCS. So right now, only Metro PCS is going to give you twice the memory on any free phone that's out there. You'll have unlimited 4G LP data. So that means more for your pictures, videos, apps such as Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, listen to your show, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, blocking people on Twitter, whatever you want to do, you're going to have the ability to do that and much more with these smartphones. And on top of that, you're going to be enjoying them on a nationwide, reliable network with Metro PCS. So there really hasn't been a better time to switch.
And Sal, you'll walk people through the upgrading of their new cell phone. So they're not going to lose important information.
Step by step. We'll hold them along the way. We'll get them switched over. A lot of times people, you know, it's a common question. They'll come in and say, you know, I don't want to lose this. I have grandma's 99th birthday pictures in there. I don't want to lose those. Whatever it may be, we'll get everything switched over. We make sure everything's switched over for the customer, and we'll help along the way.
Folks, it's Sal at Metro PCS, and I apologize. Starting tomorrow, we'll have the ESPN stuff again of he's having the time of his life. But for five great locations. Now, as you're listening on this Wednesday, it's time to upgrade your cell phone, and you do it with Sal from Metro PCS. Manton Avenue in Providence, Smith Street in North Providence, Atwood Avenue in Johnston, 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnston, and also their newest store, good news, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. It's our friend Sal, the doctor of communication with Metro PCS. And Sal, you have a great team and staff in the five locations ready to serve people. Folks, take advantage of this offer. But if people want to reach out to you, what is the best way to reach our friend Sal at Metro PCS?
Best, easiest way to contact myself and my team, you can call us at 401-332-5051, 332-5051. If you have questions regarding this promotion, you want to learn more about the free phone, even if you have problems with your phone, we're more than happy to help people too. If you have an issue with your phone, give us a ring, 332-5051.
Folks, call Sal today, 332-5051. And Sal, it doesn't matter. People don't realize it's been a while. Now is the time to switch, and you'll walk them through. And on top of that, they get two great cell phones.
Yeah, it's that simple. I mean, if you're still using an older flip phone or maybe even a smartphone that's 6 to 8 months, a year from now, a year ago, that's old, you may be definitely due for an upgrade, because the big thing we've mentioned before, the memory is so important in your smartphone. If you don't have the proper memory, you're not going to be able to download pictures, download apps.
That's right.
Take pictures. Sometimes your albums don't even open up. You can't view the picture.
Nope.
And this is a perfect opportunity to you know, make the switch and get yourself into a new smartphone with 32 gigabytes of memory.
Folks, thank you, Sal. Call Sal today, 332-5051. It's John DePietro. This portion of the program brought by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. You can stop in and see them. Dave and Donna, what a great job they do. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, full bar, lodge dining area, lunch or dinner, a great meal waiting for you at the Lodge. It's John DePietro. Enjoy this Wednesday. We're back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next on WNRI.
WNRI and W236 CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.